Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, in your browser, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial, 102.9, or maybe it's a push button, either way. 102.9 on the FM band. Here virtually today, with another candidate interview for our biennial election coming up November 4, 2025. School committee candidate, current school committee member, Al Charles. Al, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I appreciate this. This is definitely exciting.
Oh, definitely. I'm having a whole bunch of fun talking to a whole bunch of people, and this is what we need to do to create informed voters, right, before November 4th.
Yep.
So for those who may not know, and there may be some, because we're a dynamic community, people coming in, coming out. Tell us a little bit about your Franklin story, you know, your road here or life within Franklin and your involvement in the community here. So people will know, oh, Steve's talking to Al. Yeah, I remember Al.
So a little bit about myself. When I got married with my wife, we were looking for a place to live. And we were looking for some place that worked well for work, you know, from a commute perspective, and just kind of met our lifestyle. And at that time, we didn't have any children, but we were living in an apartment. We're like, you know, we're tired of the apartment living, and let's get a house. So lo and behold, we found Franklin, and it hit all the marks, you know. Commuter rail, got two stations there, so my wife was able to commute into Boston. 495 was right there for me, so I hopped up and down that to go to work, and it was beautiful. The house that we found was amazing, so super happy, way better than our apartment. So that was a huge plus. We then had children, and because of our children, we started to become more involved in the community. My children went to daycare, and you know, we knew some people at the daycare, but it wasn't until we got into the public school system where we really embraced the community. I started doing things such as coaching basketball, baseball, soccer, soccer, which I still do now. And really met a lot of people, you know, kids that were in our school, kids that went to different schools, families, and really just really built my network of people that I knew and really made Franklin my home. My boys now, my oldest, Owen, who is a freshman at Franklin High School, and Chris, who is at a seventh grader at Franklin Middle School. So really, we've been here since I guess 2009. And from there, in the schools, I was able to also volunteer. So I volunteered supporting the PCCs, doing just various things. So they would have, you know, their fun runs and help out there, participated in their dining out committees, and really just supported wherever they needed some support. So that really was where, you know, the community knew me, I knew the community, and really made Franklin my home, which has been really, really great. Seen a lot of changes since we've gotten here, both for the good, some things, you know, but that's life, you know, things change, but it's been amazing to be here. And then because of that, allowed me to see how that could I give back even more, which, as you had said, I'm an incumbent on the Franklin School Committee for the past 4 years, and really just being able to give my time to help the greater good. So
yeah.
that's really it in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Yep. That's fine. That's good. Thank you for that. Yeah. I think in this kind of one common thread, people who, and for the listeners, if you're new to this, hopefully you'll tap in to see the others. If you've seen some of the others, then you've also detected kind of the common thread that if you're not born here, you chose Franklin for kind of the commutability, affordability, lifestyle, and then just liked it. It was home. So yeah, myself, 30 years here, and we came for those reasons and we've stayed for those reasons. So then as part of that, certainly involved in the community in some ways, maybe it's just on social media and more so, but civil discourse is always a key component of the Democratic Republic form of government we have. Now, clearly the political party structure, which is more of a national piece, fortunately doesn't apply as much to the local politics because we're more nonpartisan than, you know, party-based. But some of that civil discourse is less than civil sometimes. So what is you as an individual in the school committee would do to, help either bridge that divide or at least mitigate that as much as possible?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big item regarding the divide in politics and how people operate. I mean, for me, the biggest thing I've been doing is bringing people together and sharing information. I mean, this is why I've really enjoyed being on the community relations subcommittee, because I've been able to take information that we have and share it across the board so that people know what's going on. Because the easiest thing to do is keep things in a silo and only speak to certain groups and ignore others, where that enhances the divide. Whereas if we can message out and share that information, then people understand what's going on and they can really feel engaged and included in what's happening so that they can participate and we can open up those dialogues for conversation. So like for the newsletter that I help get out every single month, I don't only just send it out to the families that have children in the school committee, in the school district. I send it out to those that are just residents in the town, so that they are aware. Because at the end of the day, the school takes up so much of the budget. People need to understand what are they funding, and really care about that, so that they can continue to fund and can support that funding. In addition to the what I've done there, I think back to the first redistricting subcommittee that I had led. We took a deliberate approach to open up the net to anybody that wanted to participate. So we had a survey and said, "Hey, if you want to join and you want to share your voice, fill out this form." And we probably had like maybe three or four questions, and people filled it out, and we had about 60 or so people that had filled out the form. And initially we're going to reduce that to a couple people. And after looking at it, I was like, well, why do we limit folks? So we said, no, we'll have a large group, and it may be challenging, but it was a way to get all the voices that wanted to speak in a room together so we could talk, listen to each other, understand each other, and really take that feedback from those folks. And Stevie, you probably recall the first subcommittee, we ended up to not do anything and revisit things, and that was because we heard different perspectives, and our initial plan was just how do we redistrict and how do we reconfigure using the same buildings. And because of that, we're like, well, no, this is not going to work, so let's pause, let's come back, and let's look at it differently. And we have what we have now with the new redistricting, where we closed schools, we consolidated the middle school, which was never the initial view. So, I mean, that just shows how by pulling people together, your initial perception may change because you've opened up those communication dialogues. So, I'm going to continue doing that as we go. And I think that will help people be more engaged and put down their political sides and really come back to talk about how do we help our community, our students, our educators, and really make Franklin as best as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think the one takeaway that I observed there and you referenced as well, it may have been a little bit challenging to lead the large group, but at least by not excluding somebody, so, oh, I volunteered, but then they didn't take me. Wonder why. Right? Now you at least had everybody in at the circle, and clearly schedules were such. Some people made it some nights, some people made it other nights, but they were in the circle and going through. And that's the key, I think. That we all need to at least look at as kind of a lesson plan for future things. Not that this is a place for me to pontificate, but I think that's a good place for people that, this is happening. This did happen, and oh, well, let's learn from it, right? So, yeah, thank you for that. So, in addition to that, which you've already alluded to, and you've couple of terms on the school committee, what other experience or background will help you to serve in this particular role? Or what do you bring to the table is another way to phrase it, that, helps set you apart either to compete with the people who are in this role or to collaborate those ultimately getting chosen to go forward.
Yeah, and I think back to when I first came in, and it was a completely different ball game. I didn't have the background. I mean, I watched some of the school committee meetings, but it was brand new to me, and I had to learn on the job. So I think this time, it's just the 4 years of experience. I feel like well, not feel. I know that in these past 4 years, I've done things that are core tenets of the school committee role. The big thing, the annual budget work. Reviewing that, dissecting it, questioning the superintendent on why we're doing what we're doing, and then also then educating the masses to as to what we're doing so that they know and they understand and they can say, yep, this makes sense. Hopefully, I hope don't have to do this in my school committee term, but we had to hire a new superintendent. So went through that whole process of going and finding the new superintendent. Fortunately, we have a great candidate that has been doing an amazing job. And well, once again, hopefully we'll have to do that anytime soon, but that's a major process. And then the big thing that we're going to have to do again are contract negotiations. In my time, we've had to do two contract negotiations. And it's not an easy thing to learn. So I think just me coming in, having that experience really makes things easier the next go around and really smoother as well. And having something to reference back to say, okay, well, this is what we did before. How do we do it better? And really benefit all the parties that are there. Outside of that, I think it's really from a personal standpoint, it's my temperament. When conversations are coming in, even though that I've been in the school committee for 4 years, I'm not thinking of it just for me, because at the end of the day, it's the public that needs to understand this as well. So I think through like, how do I ask the question so that this resonates with the public? What are the questions that the public may have where they're not getting this packet in advance and being able to comb through it, and really trying to help those presenters tell their stories to show the value of what they're doing and why it's important. Because it's easy just to present and expect the public to understand, but at the end of the day, they're not necessarily as closer to it as the central office, the presenters are. I have a closer view of it, but from a public standpoint, it's great just to kind of really simplify it and make it sure that the key points are highlighted. So I think how I approach presentations is great, is an asset. And then the last thing I think that benefits is there are times that I've voted that doesn't necessarily go with the crowd. So I look at it based off of how does this benefit the students and the community, and it's not necessarily regarding, am I going to vote with the others or am I on my own? And there are many times that I've been the only person that said one way, and it is what it is. But I feel like sometimes you have to go with what's the right thing and what you believe in. So.
Yeah, I think from an observation standpoint, again, which is what I do, reporting on the meetings. A 7-0 vote says one thing, a 6-1, 5-2 still moves it forward, but at least says there's something around it that, maybe get reconsidered at some point. And that's still fair. That's the process. There's nothing wrong with that. So I know there's some talk even among the community that it needs to be, unanimous votes all the time to show unanimity. Well, you can still have a passing vote and still show unanimity around an idea. And, just because one vote went the other way doesn't mean you're not going to roll up your shoulders and still make it happen. So, yeah, my 2 cents. But this is not about me, so I'll stop doing
It's all
that.
good.
We'll get into the school committee questions specifically. And that gives me a pause to quick reminder for the listeners. If you've seen these before, you're aware, I think, that we've got the three standard questions for all candidates. And then we get into to role specific questions. To generally give us that kind of a common platform. So we're asking the same question, people can answer it differently by their own style, etc., but should give us something of an idea in terms of, oh, I like this one, I like that one for di various reasons, so we can make that informed vote when it comes time to it. So getting into the school committee question specifically, and you started talking about redistricting, certainly that was a multi-year effort with certainly the decision behind us and the implementation underway. What do you see as the key priority now for the district?
So the number one priority from in my perspective, and I think this is the number one priority every year, is the budget. We know that there is upcoming deficits, and we can't cut our way through to success. We have to look, how does the district be more effective and efficient with the money that we're allocated, but at the same time, how do we educate the masses, town council, the importance around the funds that we're asking for, and what we get back from this. And I think that that's going to be the constant struggle for the foreseeable future, given the way the budget situation is occurring, not just in Franklin, but everywhere. So that's number one. The second thing I think that's going to be big. I know, although we finished redistricting, it's the first phase of it. And I think that this the phrase, storming, norming, performing, and we're in the first phase. We just got through the first work, but there's a lot of things that still need to be done. People think of the schools as they were prior to redistricting. If I talk to somebody and I say Lincoln Street or Washington Street, I get that hesitation, like, what are you talking about? And then I'll have to say, oh yeah, Keller and Annie Sullivan or Remington and Jefferson. And I don't think we have an identity yet. And really the goal is, how do we reestablish the school's ident the district's identity in terms of how are they integrated in the community? How do we, because as I had mentioned earlier, the schools was how I got involved in the community, whereas if I didn't have children, I may not have been as engaged. So how do we take the new structure and build around that so that people understand and really have those new communities? And it's going to be a process. It's not something that happens overnight. I think of things at work where we've made some changes and people have still referred to the old names and old systems. And I think we have to be very intentional to, like, really bring people along, and this is a new structure and this is our new identity. So I think those two are the two things. Other than that, I think it's been a wild ride, between COVID, the financial situations. I think we just have to be very nimble to see what else pops up that we have to address, and really be able to, whatever it does pop up, roll our sleeves up, work together, and then just figure out a way to solve that.
Yeah, who knows what the future brings in. I'm glad I'm not a forecaster. I just focus on reporting. That's challenging enough. And the final question within the school committee spot is, with the school district responsible for the bulk of the Franklin, town of Franklin budget, which you've already referenced, and I think you've started alluding to some of the key priorities within it, but do you have any particular ideas around how to resolve the structural deficit within the operating budget?
So I think we started doing a really great job last year when it came to pulling in the finance committee, town council, and school committee, and really trying to come up with a solution. I think we should build upon that, and really look to see, how do we do things differently. One of the things that we do today is, from a budgetary perspective, the school committee and superintendent, we work on the budget, we approve it. We then, other departments do their budget. We all bring it back to the town council and finance committee, review it. And then, although we've approved a set budget amount, things may change. They may go down, they may go down, and they may go up. But we have to react to it. And I think that uncertainty slows us down and really hinders us from being as efficient as we possibly can be, because we then, we'll just say, for example, it was reduced. We then have to make cuts, and then maybe a little bit later funds are found or reallocated, and then we have to try to rehire those teachers or bring people back, and it's just that seesaw. So I think if we were able to maybe look at like how some other towns may do, where there's a set allocation, so that at least you can predict, okay, this is where my base, and this is how I can grow. But I think ultimately, this is to get there, we have to have those three parties, the finance committee, town council, school committee, come together and really in their representatives, the town administrator and superintendent as well, to really talk and understand, is this something that we can do so that we can be more predictable? And even though that it truly make it so that the budget that is under the school committee's purview is truly under our purview, we can say we could be it's predictable. So I think that's the big thing. Beyond that, I think we truly need to look at the override situation, because the amount that costs are going, it's not going down. It's always going up. So I don't think the whole 2.5% increase every year really is truly sustainable.
No.
But we need to figure out that balance.
Yeah, no, I agree. The 2.5%, particularly with the recent inflation and continued inflation, and who knows what the tariffs are going to do to inflationary and other prices. There's a lot of uncertainty there for sure. Back to the joint budget listening sessions, and I've advocated in other channels to at least make you aware. I think one of the things that would improve those sessions, while they were good for question and answer, but then just people went away, having at least one of those sessions, or maybe a portion of a couple of sessions, being more of a workshop. So if somebody has an idea that says, hey, if we did this, well, let's walk through the numbers and see how the dominoes would fall, pro and con, so that, we've got more of that complete picture. Because I think one of the issues overall is that, people kind of get stuck on a number and then they can't change. Well, but the numbers do change. And we have to be able to, especially with what the state's going to give in Chapter 70, and then even after the budget, our budget's approved, the state signed their budget, then still changes needed to be made, et cetera. So people need to be a little bit more flexible around that idea going forward, and having that in kind of a workshop so they can do the dominoes and see what happens. That I think might be beneficial to help, but so. So while we've covered a bunch of topics, certainly not everything within the school's purview, but at least in the short, concise area, if there's another topic that we haven't covered, certainly you have an opportunity now, since we have the platform and the people listening, you can share.
Yeah. And I mean, really, I think at this point, I just want folks to know who I am, and understand what's driving me. I just like everybody that's voting, I am a Franklin resident, and this is the town that is my home. I've enjoyed all of my entire time that I've been here. I'm happy that my children are growing here. They've lived here all their life, which is different than what has been for me when I was a kid, where I'd bounce around in different places as well. So it's really great just to see that different dynamic. And really, at the end of the day, I'm really no different than anybody else. I think the only thing that's different is I have the opportunity to volunteer and support the community in this capacity, which has been fun. I look back and I think I was like, never have I ever thought of, oh yeah, I wanted to be a school committee member, or even an elected official. So it's wild how life has changed the trajectory and what I'm doing now. But it's something that I've been enjoying. I feel like I do a good job. I hope others see that as well. So that's it. And really, at the end of the day, love for folks to vote for me, support me, and let me know how I can help them and help the community.
Yeah, in terms of that connection piece, at the end of the video, we'll have a slide with your contact info and email in case they don't already have it. But that'll be a reminder to them for them to do that reach out and say, hey, I saw you talking with Steve. What about this, et cetera? So, yeah, that'll be good. Well, thank you for taking time to share. I know you've got a busy schedule, but it's important for us to do this together, to share with the rest of the community, so everybody at least has, kind of the level playing field as we go in to make our vote on or before November 4th. So thank you again.
And Steve, thank you. I mean, this is a great resource. Not all communities have a Steve Sherlock, so great way to keep informed and know what's happening and really how to be engaged. So appreciate this.
Sure. Thanks. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. This is one of the series. There's more coming. We'll let you know when we finally get to the last one. But in the meantime, no celebrations. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of conversations to have, too. So thank you for participating. Thank you for listening. And a quick reminder that we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.